second, not most.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. All righty, we'll now, Mr. O'Brien.
Mr. Chair, I move the Flavanna County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to provisions of Section 2.2-3711A1, Section 2.2-3711A5, Section 2.2-3711A6, Section 2.2-3711A7 of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended for the purposes of discussing personnel, prospective industry, investment of funds, litigation.
Second.
Motion's made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
We're going downstairs.
All in favor?
Aye.
That's right.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes. We now in closed session.
I'll send it over here back.
All right.
Chair, I move the Flavanna County Board of Supervisors enter. Mr. Chair, I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Flavanna County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify that to the best of each member's knowledge, one, only public business matters lawfully exempted from the open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711A of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended, and two, only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting.
Second. Got a motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Weaver. Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. Corker?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. We will now reconvene the meeting and we will open the budget work session with the constitutional officer presentations and Ms. Lindhurst.
Usually I'm last. What happened here?
I just got to tell you, my baseball number is number 19 and you're at 19 right beside you. So that's a homie.
So I can just go home and call her?
No, all but crying.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
I really don't have a lot to say about my budget. Mr. Wow. Nichols and I went, you know, we've gotten this down pretty close to what we're going to actually need to operate. And the only thing I want to say tonight is, since I'm first, I'm going to put a big punch in for all county employees. So if there's any way to help county employees, and I just want to say kudos to my staff because we had about $500,000 in delinquent personal property tax collections this time.
Yay.
And it's due to those four girls at that window who take a beating every day from the taxpayers. But we did DMV holds, and I'd like to say kudos to our IT people for all of their support with helping us get everything set up. So I think we need to appreciate the staff that we have that works so hard to get this money in here for you guys to spend. So
yeah, we like that.
So basically, we're good on our real estate tax collections. We've got like $333,000. And we have 34 properties that are pending, coming up for sales. So we are pushing hard for everybody to pay their fair share in Flavanna County. So I'm just asking you support my budget, give us the tools we need to work for, you know, work with to get the collections where they need to be. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
The $333,000 real estate, that was what you collected that was delinquent?
That the tax attorney did. They were actually suits okay. for sales of real estate okay. way back. And we've got more that we're working
that in.
On. Yes.
Yeah.
We're,
yes.
Did we auction off any land this year?
Yes.
And do you get a good price for it?
Not normally.
Limit
the judge, Mrs. Booker, actually likes to get, I think it's 20% at least of what uh-huh. it's valued at.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some that are really bad that have been abandoned for years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same in a way.
Yeah, it is. But we got to get them back out there
yeah.
for somebody
yeah,
to pay.
Sure do.
Any other questions? Well, thank you, Ms. Lynn.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. The Commissioner of the Revenue.
Thank you, sir.
I'm glad y'all put me before him.
I'll be... Are there any questions?
Keep on going.
You're the man. Are there any questions? We'll go ahead and leave.
Okay. Just to the point, I believe I have a great staff, and I always like to say that. Our deputies, the four that we have, are in the career development program. I'm happy to report that we have four of them that are completely certified Master Commissioners of the Revenue. Ms. Brown, Shanika Brown, completed her coursework, but they don't award the certificates until the 1st of July, so I will come back and ask the board if y'all would be so kind to let me ask y'all to award her that certificate at a board meeting, because it's a 3 to 4 year process and a lot of coursework, and she got it.
It is 3 to 4 years.
Yes, ma'am. Years minimum. That's absolute minimum to get it all done, and sometimes it takes a little extra. We have one other person that's in the course, and will complete her coursework by October. Ms. Solis, Caitlin Solis. And so we will, once again, I hope after Caitlin finishes in October, Shanika's done. She is a master deputy commissioner. She just hadn't got...
Do they go somewhere to take this class?
Yes, ma'am. We have to attend classes. They're put on and monitored, in fact, tested by Weldon Cooper. Mm-hmm. It's administered through the University of Virginia.
Oh.
It's a beautiful diploma. I mean, it's... The University of Virginia diploma, Weldon Cooper. I had difficulty getting Lauren to mount, put hers on the wall because, you know, she's a Virginia Tech girl, and that UVA diploma looks so nice. If you're by the office, please point out how nice you think that looks.
Oh, please remind me.
Anyway, so I just wanted to bring you up to speed on that, and we're only able to do that because the board gives us, you know, the funds to attend class and get it done. But thank you for it. We had a really smooth transition to our new offices, and that's been really wonderful. The new offices that y'all had, the building remodeled, I can't tell you how nice it's been. It's been noticed, too. I mean, everybody that comes in, it's just a real breath of fresh air. Even down to some small stuff. Like, we don't have exposed wiring anymore because it's, you know, it's in the wall.
They got a charge under that all the time.
In fact, we actually have, you know, receptacles that have got three-way plugs now instead of the old two-way plugs. But it was a really smooth time. And I got to tell you, that was due, frankly, almost entirely to the staff help. Andy's team, you know, now with Tim, and I forgot who at the time. Boy, you know, he's taken a 1824 building and making it work electronically for Linda's team first and then ours. We're blessed. Y'all know that. So we appreciate the staff's help. We've transitioned in our office to entirely electronic forms. We can do, if somebody wants to do tax relief, they want to do veterans relief, they want to do land use, business personal property. All of that is available electronically now, going on the website. We still allow paper forms because some people still prefer paper. But it's even down to electronic signatures now. A lot of people do their land use stuff, and they will certify with electronic signature and email it back to us. And we're, of course, doing, all of our database work now, and I think all of us are. I think Linda's there too, and it's in-house, and that's because we have good staff. We have great staff. Kelly, if you give me one more slide, please, ma'am. I just said that so I won't belabor it. A big part of that's because, frankly, we've had consistent funding. I know y'all haven't been able to give us as much as maybe we would like, but you've never really had to cut our legs out from under us either, and that's allowed us to keep good people, good building, really good building. I mean, the remod, if you haven't been in to look at it, it's really nice, and good equipment. I mean, we have really good And it's a small thing, but when you are scanning and faxing and copying 8,000-10,000 copies, you know, and you got to have good equipment or things stop. And it's been a blessing for that. I will just say one last time, I've worked in other counties. You all know that. And it isn't always as solid a team as we have here in Fluvanna. I know this isn't budget stuff, but it just bears saying. We are so fortunate that we all work closely together. During the thing that Steve and Eric's teams down here, primarily finance that we work with, of course, HR and IT, that they make happen, and we appreciate it. And so, and then lastly, this is I just threw that up there because if y'all have questions, I'm happy to talk to it, but I only wanted to take about 5 minutes to say thank you. We have a $1,000 request over where we were last year. That $1,000, frankly, is just in the ability to go to the classes that we have. It's lodging and subsistence. It's $1,000 to spread out between the five of us because our classes are sometimes in different parts of the state, and they are two-day classes that require an overnight stay. But with the money we have, we'll keep on trying to do this same, I think, excellent job that we've been able to do for the county. And Linda's right. We do see more aggressive folks these days, unfortunately, but that's life. Are there any questions? Be happy to talk to any of the programs that you might have. Then I will say this and finish. Tax relief for the elderly. The deadline is March 15th. If you know of anyone that might be eligible, they have to apply by March 15th. If you know of a veteran, that program, and of course I tell everybody, that's a local option. We have that because the board has approved it. Tax relief for the veterans is a state program, but we try hard to find all of them. And I also want to put a plug in because we have the high mileage discount. If you have a vehicle that has 150,000, I'm just touching them again because people will ask y'all because y'all are the board and y'all know everything because y'all are the board of supervisors. That's what folks think and they expect it. So,
what's the date for the high mileage?
A high mileage, we actually accepted Ms. Eager up until the 5th of June. I would greatly prefer that they let us know before Linda's office does the bills.
It's really hard after we process those bills and have to do
that.
150,000
miles. We don't do that, but he has to take it off and then it has to come through.
It's about 25-30%, depends on the vehicle.
So
but
like him to have that?
Yes, ma'am. 25-30%.
They're not going to be worth much anyway after 150,000.
Yeah, well, you know, 150,000.
That's true. We do now.
And their friends in the motorcycle community felt left out. So we have a high mileage for motorcycles at 40,000. And that is ancient for a motorcycle. But if you got a motorcycle, and I know y'all don't necessarily have all this stuff, but just trying to make sure y'all are educated so when people run to you,
it's a good idea.
You know,
my boat mail, how many miles?
I hope you have a sticker on it.
Are you just running in your pond or a big place?
Thank y'all.
Let me ask
questions. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. Brief. Senior. You asked for 1,000 more for the education and the lodging, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So what would happen if is there 1,000 in here?
Yes, ma'am. On this line, if you see on the screen, it was 1,500.
Yeah, I'm looking at my book.
This line, line 43.
I need to get closer to the screen. 43.
Line 43.
Okay. Line 43. All right.
It went from 15 to 25.
Yeah, I saw that. You did give him the 1,000. Okay.
I recommended it in mine.
You recommended because, in your budget.
Because I usually make recommendations on the education stuff, just not so much on the personnel.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And but it is.
We try to give some back. I don't know that we'll need all that, but frankly, if you're certified, to maintain your certification, you have to attend classes annually, and frequently those are
4,000.
Whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd just like to make a note.
World's record.
7:13, and we got Linda and Mel done. Linda's usually done pretty quick. But just, you know.
And they'll do better.
What was it?
Just
be thankful. Yes, sir.
$150.
We need to have an hour, I mean, one of those things.
I don't want to...
Do you have one or 10 minutes?
All right.
That's a good idea. I second that.
Just so you know, Ms. Eager asked, it's $150,000, which you need to have on your vehicle by tax day, which is January 1st. So if someone says, well, I got $150,000, we just ask you to bring in a copy of your most recent state inspection because that has some mileage on it. And if you had a state inspection in September, October, November, December, and it was anything around $150,000, we'll work with you. If you bring it in February and it's $148,000 and you told me it's as of January 1st, but has to be turned in by June 5th.
That's good.
And how much was the mileage on the motorcycle again?
$40,000. Had a guy that came in and he and his, I don't think he'd been in a car in 10 years. He said, you know, what's the mileage on the motorcycle? I asked him to go back and talk to his club and give me a recommendation. And $40,000 was what they recommended, and we accepted that. And so he looked like he might get it, but I doubt many people do. But it's $40,000 on a motorcycle as of January 1st. That's the tax day.
And you only have to file that form one time.
Yeah, either one of those. Correct. Thank you, Midland. If you file that one time, then we keep that on file, and we apply it each year as long as that vehicle comes up as still being owned by you.
Even if I reset my mileage back down, I can still get it?
You know, we'll work with you.
Say they reduce it in half.
It's not quite that much, sir. It's anywhere between 25 and about 35%.
Okay.
So it's helpful.
Yeah, sure.
It's helpful.
Every dollar helps.
No impact on the decal fee, but, you know.
Yeah.
Decal fee is with us forever.
All righty. Thank you very much, sir.
Yes, sir.
We will now go to the clerk of the court, Ms. Pace. Treadway. Doggone it. That's what happens when you tell your age and you remember her from when she was in class.
I'm still a Pace, always a Pace.
I'm sorry.
So I just want to echo what the two of Ms. Lahur and Mr. Sheridan have said about, you know, it's always nice for you all to hear that we really do feel like we are blessed here in Fluvanna. And I tell my staff all the time, you know, we have a wonderful building, and I may be a little bit biased. I'm sure Mr. Hazlett can speak to this as well, but I think we have one of the most beautiful courthouses in the state. I've been to a lot of courthouses, and even, you know, it's aging, but all buildings age, but it is still beautiful, and we are blessed to be in it every day. So I do want to say thank you for continuing to remodel and improve the other buildings, and because, you know, we do recognize that we do have good digs. You know, as far as the staff goes as well, I have great staff. I've got my chief deputy, 42 years of service, two that have been in my office for around 20 years each, and the others are 5 years, 4 years, and I've got two that are 2 years. So I'm very blessed to have good, solid staff. Five that are enrolled in the career development program. The clerk's office used to have a career development program many, many years ago, and actually I was certified under that program through Weldon Cooper. Mm-hmm. Then they did away with it, and the clerks had to claw back to get a career development program and funding approved through the General Assembly, and that has recently been approved in the last couple years. So five of my staff are enrolled. The other two, well, and I am as well, so that's six, counting me. And two are not quite eligible yet because they don't have the time in the clerk's office yet in order to be eligible. So they're working towards that career development, which is a great asset to the county. So we're very blessed to have good, knowledgeable staff. So my presentation, basically, like Mel's budget, I'm not asking for a lot this year. I'm asking to maintain what we had last year and asking for around $2,500 more. And part of that is career development monies for classes and things with a staff of seven, not counting me, you know, sending them to classes and such. It does become, you know, you need money to be able to do that. And then there are some other line items that just needed just a small boost in those line items. So we've run a pretty tight budget with know what our costs are and try to keep it as minimal as possible. So we're not asking for a whole lot. So my presentation basically just kind of tells you what we've been up to. Those are our caseload statistics. criminal cases, 369. I mean, I don't need to read them to you. Concealed handgun permits, we had 573 in 2018. Marriage license, we had 100. Passports, we did over 1,000 last year. Restitution, that restitution, we are taxed with collecting restitution for victims and then paying out that restitution. So we issued 378 transactions last year as far as sending out restitution checks. So that's just a little few of our numbers just to tell you where we're at and what we've been doing.
And for future years, if you could, it just helps if you can do several years with it.
Okay.
That is the way we're trending, because that really helps support your programs, because you've gone up a lot of those.
Yeah, I will say overall, looking at our numbers, they stay pretty consistent. I mean, some rise, some fall, I mean, each year, but overall, they have a pretty consistent. Passports last year rose significantly. I mean, I'm sorry, 2017 rose significantly due to the fact that Waynesboro City stopped doing passports, and so almost everyone in Central Virginia started coming to Fluvanna, which was great. This past year, I believe, City of Charlottesville and Waynesboro Treasurer's Office started doing passports, and so some of that filtered back that way again. So they dropped some, and we're not complaining because they're still at 1,000, over 1,000 passports. That's still a lot of passports. So, they dropped a little bit. But what we've been doing just kind of around the building, we had all of the windows in the circuit courtroom as well as the records room tinted for security, as well as UV lighting for the records to make sure that they provide the windows are protected and the sunlight doesn't get to the records. We completed our marriage license back scanning project, so all of our marriage licenses are now safe and secure as far as we can. We always have a backup of those if anything were to happen to the most historic marriage licenses. We got a new audio system in the courtroom this past year. Earlier this year, 2019, we actually went fileless, so we no longer have court files.
Where are the files?
They're on the computer. We scan everything.
Do they go to Connecticut or wherever, like everybody else?
Maine.
Go to Maine.
Yeah. So they're backed up. They're backed up in multiple locations. So about five. About five locations, including the Library of Virginia. So they're there if we need them. So. I will say, I've shown you, I don't have the pictures on here now, but I've shown you guys pictures before of my file room. There's no room for expansion, and there was no room, so I had to do something, so we decided we were going to go fileless. So earlier this year, we submitted to a voluntary management analysis, so we had the Supreme Court of Virginia Office of Executive Secretaries come in and do a 3-full-day analysis of our office, basically auditing all of our processes and procedures to tell us what we're doing wrong, what we're doing right, how we can improve, you know, all of those. I don't have the final. I actually emailed again this week trying to check to find out, hey, I haven't gotten my formal letter yet telling me. But verbally, we did very well. From what they say, we did very, very well. So I'm looking forward to actually getting the written analysis. But according to what they've told me, we've done well. We also last week just finished up our financial audit. So again, verbally, we've done well. So I don't expect any surprises, I hope. These are some of the physical changes to the building. Our front counter did not have any type of riser on it, so there was not a whole lot of privacy or security there. So adding those risers like the bank tellers have provided us with some security as well as some privacy for the transactions for the person that our deputies are helping right there.
So much more professional when you walk in there.
And yeah, we love it. We really, really do. So that's one change, but it doesn't compromise the personal interaction and stuff that we've been able to offer in the past. So we like it. We really do. Audio, we got new courtroom audio system. This was the old cabinet on the left. You could barely get into and get to the switches and stuff, and so we had these new cabinets put in so that it's very easily accessible, and so those have been put in this year or this past year. The law library project, that was monies that I had asked for carryover for. That's on the left what it used to look like, on the right what it now looks like, and it is I love that room. Mm-hmm. The record room, I mean, when you walk in, the focal point when you walk in is that law library and just the rest of the records. And it's just, to me, majestic. I mean, you just go in there, and I've been complimented so much about how wonderful our record room is.
Where are those things on the shelves back there?
I don't know, but I think
should I have gone file list? I need to go book list. Maybe I should have gone book list. Yeah, you with your fancy iPads in the courtroom. The AC closet, AC and heating closet, we talked a couple years ago. I had to ask for carryover funds to be carried over again because this public works project of getting the AC unit out of the ceiling, we had to find floor space, and so they built it into the corner there, and it really is not even noticeable. I was very worried, but they did a fantastic job. The trim, it looks like it's always been there, so it's fantastic. So this year we've had 3 books preserved and returned to us. We've got 6 out currently for preservation, and I just got the information this week for the new grant cycle, so I'll soon be in the next month writing another grant for monies for preservation. So that's just a little bit about what we've been doing in our office. So I would ask for you please to support my budget, the county administrator, and the one that the county administrator has put forward to you. We just want to be able to continue doing the work that we've been doing.
Tell me about, I didn't know you did restitution. Tell me how that works. But the judge gives them the restitution.
The Commonwealth will ask for restitution in a case where there's a victim that restitution is owed. The judge will order it, and then it's ordered to be paid through the clerk's office. So then it's up to us to collect that restitution.
So who keeps up with the person if they don't pay? Their attorney or...
Sherry in my office keeps track of that.
And then they file something with us, and then we issue something.
Yeah. Now, what kind of things do they give restitution for?
Oh, it can be anything from items stolen in a burglary, a car that's stolen and wrecked. We've had people owe $45,000 restitution just for a car that they took and destroyed. Yeah.
We've had buy money
drug cases. We started asking for that, so when the sheriff's office spends $150 on a few drug buys, we order the defendant to pay that, have a judge order the defendant to pay that back because that money's gone, so it comes back. So
you get 300 any number of individual things.
They've been working on
something. Mr. Weaver, will you take that away from me, please?
I'm sorry.
What is an assumed name?
It's also called a fictitious name. When someone owns like a sole proprietorship and they're not necessarily licensed through the State Corporation Commission, if they want to open up a checking account or anything like that under a business name, they have to have one of those assumed or fictitious name forms for the bank to recognize them as an entity to open up a bank. Open up an account. You can't just go in and say, I just started a business and I want to open up an account under, Handy Helper. You actually have to have this formal form filed in our office that says you are acting as that business.
And that's short of a corporation. You can either file with the corporation, SEC in Richmond, and be a corporation or an LLC. But if you don't want to do that, you're a truck, pickup truck business contractor. You can be Joe's Handyman Service, and it's Joe Smith doing business as Joe's Handyman Service. So you have to, it's a formal process. So people can kind of track you if they need to.
I didn't know that either.
Mm-hmm. And that's Bell picks up a lot of businesses and things in the county from those filings and things. So
that's one of our methods of discovery, like social media and print media. But
any other questions, Mr. Treadway?
Yes. What's turnaround on a passport?
4 to 6 weeks, unless you want it expedited, and then
it's shut down.
Yeah, unless the government shut down.
I will take care of them. I went in there to get one a month and a half ago, I guess. There were at least 7 people in line with my wife, my son, and I to get passports that day at that point in time, and we've already received ours.
My renewal came back in about three weeks from the timeline.
Yeah. They say 4 to 6, but it's usually closer to 4.
Yeah, does it do any good to have your old one? I mean, does that speed it up at all?
That's a renewal.
Yeah, that's expired. Yeah. Okay. No, if it's expired, it's not. You want to get it done before it expires. Yeah.
And they give it to you for 10 years now, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. That's what it was.
Yeah, because mine's 22. Before.
I think mine was 10 years before.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's 10 years still.
10 years.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All righty. Well, thank you very much, Ms. Treadway. I just want to make note that
I took longer than anybody.
You took longer than Mel.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the commissioner.
That was getting better.
I think he paid her to do that.
That's what it was. He wanted me to make it look good.
They do a lot of restitution. Well, you know, you were talking about, I will say, I did have one thought when they were talking about how the people come up there and they're a little bit on the grumpy side. It come to bus duty when you got to be in the pickup.
That's right.
Or be a first grade teacher or something.
Sheriff.
Right.
Sheriff House.
Thank you all for inviting us this evening to present our presentations. First of all, I'd like to carry on with a couple of things that Ms. Treadway was talking about. Last year, we finished up our CIP project with the cameras installed at our office, and they are amazing, amazing to be able to see everything that's going on around us and in our building. The problem we're having now, though, is the courthouse. The courthouse is almost broken, very antiquated equipment over there. Some cameras are not working. Some of the, we had a bomb threat a couple weeks ago, and it's just, we're working on several things to, we got to get a better key control, and we're working with Public Works on that. So when people are coming in and working on things, we're responsible for the security, and if people are coming in from the outside, that we need to be there while they're working on that stuff. We've had doors left open in the past and stuff, and wasn't able to see the door that one because the one camera was out. So I know that's coming up, and to have that done is pretty much a priority as far as the courthouse. But it's I got the key control. Yep. Okay. We can start on the regular part here. So we continue with our 21st century policing. We continue working in the community, building trust in our legitimacy, policies, and oversight. We will probably in the early summer, we're going to do our mock accreditation, and hopefully by the end of the fall, we will go for our accreditation process here in Virginia. Technology and social media, community policing, crime reduction. Ms. Lindner, a minute ago, was talking about the community policing, and that's pretty much our model. Yeah. That's why we put a lot of miles on those cars. We don't just sit around waiting on the calls to come to us. We ride around. We become part of the community. Training and education, we're doing a great deal of that. We spent a whole day the other day training, and we're going to fix and implement some officer wellness plans. The recently we've launched these new programs, and I just wanted to highlight them very quickly for you. Business Watch, Project Lifesaver, Child ID, Safe Exchange Program, and the Community Event Notification. So the Business Watch is we're able to do that with our new CAD system, the Spillman. If you go to the next slide, please. With the new Spillman. What we've done, we launched this at the chamber breakfast last week, and what it's going to do is allow the businesses to go on to our website and download all their contact information. You know, should we go to that business and there's something wrong with it, and we found a door open in somewhere a couple weeks ago, and didn't have the right information on who to contact. So we're working with the businesses right now. We're going to try to get the businesses up and running. We're going to get the churches next, so we get information from the churches, and when they have their services, all that will be put into the system. And then when we're done with that, we're going to address individuals in the community. And if there are people in the community that have special needs children, have any medical issues, anything they want us to know, they'll be able to go and put that information into our CAD system. So if we respond to someone's home and say they're elderly and living alone, you know, we will know, okay, the neighbor is Mr. So-and-so, and he has a key to that house. So if we can't get into the house, we don't want to have to break the door down. Those things cost a lot of money. And we also want to know, you know, does that person have a heart condition or whatever, so we can already have the right medical response going to that location. So that's going to be a big asset for the community, especially the age that we're starting to turn into, myself being one. Project Lifesaver, you've heard us talk about that. We've officially launched that now after our beta test. And this is another one for people with children that may tend to wander from the home, and adults as well. My mom had Alzheimer's, and she would wander around the farm. And this has a tracking bracelet, and we'd service it once a month, put a battery in it, and have one-on-ones with our clients. We have a few already, and just I think we picked up another one here the other day. But the good thing is, most of the agencies around us have this also. So if you are not at home and say you go visiting Goochland and you wind up wandering away, it's the same thing.
Mel said his bracelet doesn't fit very well, though. He needs to get it adjusted.
Oh, wow. So next one, please. These are our two people, Sergeant Barbara Henson and Deputy Kevin Taylor, are our field service officers that help coordinate that program. And they actually really, really enjoy going out and interacting with the folks. Next slide, please. Easy Child ID Kit, and this is a joint effort between the Commonwealth Attorney's Office and the Rotary Club. Today we did all of the pre-K kids at Carisbrook, did those classes this morning, and it was
Central,
I'm sorry, Central, yeah. And it's basically what it does is we get their fingerprints, we take several photos of them in different positions, and then we have a series of questions, and we record them audibly, asking them several questions, you know, like a question like, how do you get home from school? You know, oh, I ride the bus or I ride in a car. If you're mad or hurt, where would you go and hide? You know, things like that. And they talk and they tell you this stuff, and it's recorded. So at the end, what you get is a disc. The parents get the disc, and it has all that information. And then if something happens with their child, then they have all that. Next slide, please. Also, the parents will get a copy of this right here. And what it is all the pertinent information, as well as two ID cards at the bottom that they can cut out and go and have them laminated, and then the child actually has an ID card. So when they get a little older and they carry a wallet or whatever, they can have that on them. The Safe Exchange Zone, this is a new project we were able to finally launch with the new camera system. So Public Works gets our signs to us. You'll see those signs in our parking lot. I'm giving up my parking space out front, and I'm moving down the bottom of the hill, and we'll have those two signs will be on there, and the camera points directly at that parking, those parking spaces. So if you buy something online and you want to meet a total stranger, then you come over to our office, and the dispatchers are watching it all on the screen as it happens. Same thing with child exchange. They come there already. A lot of them come there anyway. So we don't have the audio part out there, but we do. You know, the cameras are awesome. Community notification. This is a new thing we just added to our through our CAD system also, and our website. So if you have a community event, you can go to our website, and then you can click on community event, and it'll bring up a drop down over on the left. There you go. There we go. And you just plug in all your information for your event, and then it comes to our office via email, and we've got one person right now until we get it to mesh where it'll go straight on the calendar. But then that way the patrol division will have it. If you have an extra event at your church and it's at night, we want the patrol division to know that so they can make select patrols in that area. So we'll get this done with the businesses. We'll go to the churches, and then we'll publicize this and go into the public with it. You're going on vacation, and you're going to be gone certain days, and we'll have a place you can put all that information. We're going to do come out and check on your house while you're gone. Call volume. Here's our graph for the year. We went up a little bit, not quite up to 30,000 calls for service. Our emergency calls were up slightly this last year. Next slide, please. Here is our workload. Animal control kind of went down just a tad bit there. Traffic summonses, you see where those have gone to. Let me tell you, we write some pretty high tickets. Had a guy the other day coming down 15 here just before Troy at 85 miles an hour. So, yeah, folks are flying, and we're going to keep writing them. We're going to write them until we have more tickets. And we've already had our first fatality for the year and a few accidents, pretty serious ones. So our arrests are staying about the same. Civil process, you see how that's bumped up. And actually this year we'll probably see a significant increase in civil process. We almost had to seize 29 horses tomorrow on a levy, but we've worked out a deal where now the person that levied against the horses, and it was a levy, so we had it all lined up. We had the cowboys coming from Orange. They were going to rodeo them up for us and do all the hard work, take them to Orange and sell them. But now there's some negotiations going on, and the only one that can extend that is the person that got the levy. So she's agreed to a 30-day because they're working with the bank to try to get everything worked out. But 29 horses is a lot of work. And, but that's part of the civil process.
Next one.
Judicial caseload. Here's where we're going to see an increase next year in the amount of cases that are being held in our courtrooms. We'll see a lot more days where there are two courts going on, one upstairs, one downstairs. And if you remember, over the last several years, I've been telling you about we're two deputies short in the courtrooms, but we've had our reserves covering that for us. And the comp board hasn't for the last 3 years funded those positions. I can't even imagine, based on with two additional judges in the circuit, how many more cases or how often more will be in there. And if I'll hit that real quick for you. You always have to have a minimum of one person out in the front. And then at the beginning, you like to have two so you can scan people and get them through quicker. In the courtrooms, if you have a civil case, you need minimum of one person, and that's the person that watches the judge, takes care of the judge. If it's a criminal case and you got a prisoner or prisoners, then you have to have a person with the judge, you have to have a person with the prisoners, then you have to have another person downstairs in the control room watching everything. And then if you got two courts going on, then you just added the same thing at another level. So we're asking for the two deputies this year. If we don't get them, we're mandated to do those jobs, and it would mean that we would just have to pull people off the road or from somewhere else to fill those positions. As needed. Our vehicles, we've done a real good job this year on our fleet. I show you the two types of vehicles for a reason. The Charger is our go-to vehicle. It's the cheapest one you can buy. It's all-wheel drive. It works really well in the snow, as long as it's a 1 or 2 inch snow. But we're going to have to balance our fleet. We're going to have to keep, and these guys on the left went up considerably in price, but we got to balance our fleet. If we get into a 2010 snowstorm, those Chargers are going to be sitting exactly where they were. And until those roads are clean, you see how low they are and they're aerodynamic. They work great in a little bit of snow, but you get 4, 5, 6, 7 inches, and that thing is going to be sitting right where it's parked at. So in our budget this year, we have our last three cars are late getting in because of the government shutdown, believe it or not, how that affects them. They couldn't get parts in the country or whatever for customs. With the three cars, and we get them built, and with all the equipment in it, I'm looking at, I told y'all I was going to try to save $50,000 in there, and I think I'm going to be closer to 60. So had a couple other pieces of equipment we had to buy. I thought it was going to be even more than that, but we had to buy a couple extra pieces of newer equipment that wouldn't go into the Chargers. So I think that's the end right there. Nope. I want to show you the inside of the vehicle. So here are the laptops that our Spillman is hooked into, and the deputies can get all that information on the screen. And when they run cars, run the tags and stuff. They can do a lot of that as long as they have the connectability. You see the just below the laptop to the left, in between there and the steering wheel. That's the camera system. The little six keys just to the left of the laptop right there. That's your radar. The radar is mounted in the front window and the rear. And that adjusts. You sit there and hit the button whether you want to come in from the front, the rear, and stuff.
Probably shouldn't fund any more of those.
but I just wanted to. Then you see the series of radios, a siren, all the control boxes, everything. All that stuff pretty much is falling into that 5-year shelf life that we after 5 years they're not guaranteeing anything anymore.
So that's in the passengers.
No, ma'am. It hovers. It looks like it, and it hovers right above the console. Yes, ma'am. Right. Yes, ma'am. All right. So that's basically my presentation. I thank y'all for listening to everything I had to say, and emphasize the important things that I have. I know my budget does have some increases in it. The one, because of the SRO position we got on the grant, would need to be funded next year, but they just told us the other day if we can get that application done in 30 days and get it back to them, we would be eligible to get that funded for one more year. So hopefully we're going to get that back out. But you can see up there the 107, 704 is the cost for two new deputies. And as you go down, there's 11,753, and that's for implementing. I do not have a chief deputy at this time, and if y'all see fit to give me one, we'll go with it. If you don't, we'll make everything work.
And so you know, there's two captain positions now. Mm-hmm. Essentially, one of the captain positions would be vacant. One would be that this is the money to make one of the captain
positions.
It's not
positions, a new person.
Chief deputy vacant, but still three positions, but two people.
It's a promotion. It's all it is. It's not a new person. A few increases in some lines. The 4,500 there. The 2,000 goes to 4,500, and it's just to pick up some of those incidentals with the psych exams and the things. The main one was the veterinary care from the SPCA of some of the animals. Now we have to actually pay that bill on there. Investigative services. We've got just a little bit went up in there. Contract services, that's going to be a little different. Maintenance contracts, we had a couple things in the maintenance contract. We have the our ongoing taser payments of $5,600 for the taser payments and the $3,138 for the ID networks. Let's see, go down please, 46. $4,066 right there in the telecommunications, and what we get for that is now everybody's body armor has been measured and it has a fine mesh net on it, and if the officer is injured in any way, shot or stabbed or in a car accident, there's a severe impact on the chest or the back, automatically sends a signal to dispatch and lets them know where they are and that person's in trouble.
Wow.
Vehicle maintenance. We broke that down. We worked really hard on trying to get our maintenance costs down. And we've actually gone to buying 50-gallon barrels of oil now, just because we can get it a whole lot cheaper. I'm talking about a third of the cost. So we're bringing it down. If we get extra people, we got extra vehicles, and some of those red numbers you see there are only if we get an extra deputy or two.
If those deputies, we've got these highlighted because they're tied to pink, the personnel positions.
Yeah. So the I'm asking in the training and substance and lodging there, you have the increase, 5410 is for the new per diem policy. 5,500 for the forensic school. The first time ever we will send somebody to Richmond for the forensic school, one of our investigators. Nobody from Fluvanna has ever gone to that school. He applied for it, had to go through some rigorous testing. The bad thing is, the good and the bad, there's always, you know, the good thing is he got in, he did really well, but the bad thing is they didn't put him in next year, they put him in April. So I'm probably going to have to come back to you and ask you for that money, because we can't say, no, he can't go this time. So, but that's a very prestigious school, and we're very proud of him for getting in there. Let's see, that's the other significant increase you see there for 13,450. That's just fuel prices down a little bit more. That highlight in pink, that's if we get somebody. 11,088 right there, the AVL Sprint GPS tracking real time, and that would be a box that would be put inside each vehicle, and in real time we would know where that vehicle is on the screen all the time. So, yes. Down there we see we got that 500 for the new SRO position. We add that into there. It takes about $2,000 per deputy for this uniform that I have on, and that's why there's four in there. If you give me two deputies, I'll have to have that times two, so that'd be, that's a $4,000. The same for the next section there. So the only, we, let's see, did we slide by the firearms? Oh, there it is up there. I'm sorry, 12,277 right there. And we talked about that with you before. That's trading in our sidearms that we have now. We get money for them, and the difference in the trade and the new holsters is the $12,277. If we don't get them, we'll spend approximately $100 on each sidearm, because the sights will have to be redone, because the night sights is back to the shelf life of something. You know, they're going to get you. But the good thing is, it's almost half of what it would be if we didn't trade these guns in. If we trade them in, we're getting a good bit back. Same thing when we did the shotguns and stuff. When you trade in, they give you a pretty good deal. So those are really all the increases right there. I know it's a lot. Any questions?
You said that hope that the comptroller will finance. What do you mean? Is that a partial finance?
Well, ma'am, what it is they give us so many positions, mm-hmm. and they keep saying you need those, but we don't have the money to give them to you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like other counties, too. You just have to make do with what you have unless your county gives you something. That's what that comes down to there. And I haven't heard or read anything solid on where they are, but we will ask for those, too, from mm-hmm. them again. We did ask for them, too. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Now, whether they get funded or not, I don't know.
So if the comp boards were to say that they would fund those, that would go down.
Yeah, it would go down significantly. Yeah. We could still supplement each one of those salaries, but it would be a big difference.
Do they usually take a long time to hear from them?
Well, you know, they go by need, supposedly. When they do have positions, I mean, I think Fairfax County has like 480 Ooh. Deputies or something. Yeah. You know, it's just there's a method to the madness. I don't know exactly what it is, but they control the strings. But any other questions or anything about any of the lines where we had increases?
Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Hazel.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. I don't have a presentation. I just wanted to point out a few things that have stayed the same and some things that are changing as far as how we have to do business. Our staff for the last couple of years has stayed the same. Thankfully, we had some retirements and a little bit of turnover over the last 3 or 4 years, but we've been together. Sherry and I have been there over 20 years together, and two of our staff have been there almost 2.5 years, and my assistant Commonwealth attorney, who seems like he wants to stick around for a while, has been here for 1.5 years, and he has 1.5 years experience here, but from the time he had in Halifax, he's eligible for the career prosecutor program, which means that he'll get, if he's approved this year, which he should be July 1, he'll get an $8,000 stipend from the state, which will come through the board, but it's that program we started when Frank, my prior assistant, became career prosecutor. I think something was added to the budget, or even maybe in the county code, saying that as long as that stipend's coming from the state, it goes along to the person. When it ends, it stops. So it doesn't cost you all anything, but he will hopefully get that $8,000 stipend for career prosecutor. It's extra training, it's experience, and a lot of different things that they have to do to get to that level, but he's reached that and should have been a year or so ago, but unfortunately, he was near the top of the list, and when he came here, they don't let you carry that across. He goes to the bottom of the list, and even though he has that time, he has to work his way back up the list because the state doesn't choose to fund all the career prosecutors, just a certain percentage of them. So he's back at the top of the list, so that's good. I'm very fortunate to go last. I learn a lot from these folks, and they also present a lot of information to you that's relevant to me. As the clerk pointed out, 369 criminal cases were commenced in the circuit court, and every one of those involve us. We have many more in the general district and juvenile domestic relations court that are commenced and in there that don't eventually wind up in Trissy's court. So the number is well above that, the cases that we actually handle. Of the 297 civil cases that Ms. Treadway mentioned, a portion of those would be ours. We deal with license restorations, name changes of prisoners, which there are quite a few, you'd be surprised, and a few different types of civil cases that we are involved in. Our office gets served with the papers, and we're the respondent in the civil cases, so we do a number of those. And although they're pretty quick to go through, the 573 gun permits that go from the sheriff to me and then to Trissy's office, that it's a lot of reading and verifying and stuff, but they do a lot. They do a lion's share of the work. I just kind of look it over, see if I recognize the person, look at the criminal record that they've already run. But sheriff's office, I can't imagine the amount of time they put into just 573 gun permits. That is a lot of work. We are seeing an uptick recently, and things go cyclical in our office. Sometimes we don't see animal cases for a while. Sometimes we see a lot of them, and you saw the sheriff's numbers on animal control are up. We've got a couple cases now, 22 charges of inadequate shelter for dogs that are coming through, and it's a lot of work for the sheriff's office, and those animal cases come through, and I love the fact that people love animals, but it's amazing how much more attention people pay to animal cases than they do kid cases, and that's a little distressing sometimes from my perspective, but I've got two dogs I love. I wouldn't want anybody putting them out in the cold, but they do cause a lot of extra time and work. But the thing that's really put a lot of time and work on our entire office, but particularly Todd and I, are body cameras. The sheriff didn't mention those. That's an expense to him. But it's also become a real-time sponge for Todd and I because, something will happen, a DUI or some type of an assault, and multiple officers or one officer will show up. So a lot of times we've got a dash camera, and then we've got the body cam of one or more officers. So we've got two or three different angles of an event that took place that we are really obligated to watch, because if there's any exculpatory evidence or evidence that helps the defendant, we are obligated. It's as if we know it, even if we don't. So we're charged with knowing it, so we have to find that out and turn it over if there is any. And the way I try to explain it to folks is, and it's particularly good for the board, is if you had a two-hour board meeting and someone asked you the next day how that board meeting went, you could give them the highlights, or you could hand them the minutes, or you could hit play and make them watch 2 hours of the board meeting and then turn the camera a little bit and let them watch it again. So you can imagine how, when you've got some spare time, before court the next day, and you and sometimes you watch them multiple times. If you've got a trial coming up, and even if you've already watched them when they first came in, you've got to prepare for that trial, so you're watching them more than once. So it is amazing, but we do what we can with the folks we have there, and unfortunately it's not really a job you can pass off to a paralegal, because again, we're charged with knowing that. We're the lawyers. I mean, Patrick's great, and he does a great job with orders and sentencing guidelines, but I wouldn't trust him to know what exculpatory, what needs to be turned over to the defense. I mean, that's just not a responsibility you can hand off to a person that isn't a lawyer. So it's, but that's not something that, money's going to fix. That's just time. We just have to deal with it and do the best we can. The new circuit court judge will add a lot of, it'll things will happen a lot faster, which is a good thing for the citizens and the court system, but I think we're going to feel a time crunch because cases are going to come a lot quicker, and the time to prepare is going to be condensed. But that's fine. I'm happy to have that happen. We've needed that, and victims don't need to have cases lingering 6, 8, 12 months before they can be heard. So that's a good thing. But as you know, when you hire somebody, when you bring on a new person, they find busy work, they find things to do. So it's going to pick up. So but again, we're looking forward to that. One thing that we are implementing, and we talked about it for years, but we really didn't think it was possible out here in the country, is drug court, which is a program where you have people that meet certain criteria, drug users, nonviolent offenders that have drug addictions, larceny offenses where they're stealing for drugs and they have an addiction. You have a drug court program where we all meet once a week, and they go through treatment, they go through all these things. They get the conviction, but they avoid jail. They get, in a lot of cases, they avoid a lot of jail or all jail. They get help getting their license back. They're made to keep a job, do community service until they get a job. So it really keeps them under the eye of the court, on a weekly basis, and then they have treatment throughout the week. So it's proven to be in other areas very successful in keeping people from going in and out of jail, just back and forth and back and forth. And the reason that's important, when I mentioned the jail part of it, is there's going to be some initial outlay asked for from the board, from certain agencies. We're in court anyway, so it's no extra cost on us. But Region 10 may need time for coverage out here. They may ask for something. Offender Aid and Restoration is going to help us run it. They may ask for something from you. I think the circuit court judges already put a little bit in for the implementation of the program that's coming up starting in March. The sheriff and Trissy and others are going to be training how to do it. But in the long run, it's proven in other areas that have done this that in keeping the jail days down, because if someone doesn't go into jail, say somebody gets convicted of drug possession, we give them 90 days in jail. They come out, they violate probation, they're in there for 90 days or 6 months waiting to have their hearing, and they get another 90 days. That's every day you all are paying for. The days that we can keep them out, going to rehab, working, getting their license back, turning their life around, number one, it's better for them, which is the important thing. But we're talking money tonight, so that's where it's going to wind up. That's going to save money down the road, and not in that big jail bill that you get every year. It's going to cut some days off of that. So I urge you, whenever an agency comes in and mentions that, to try to think that if they're asking for $5,000 a day, that's going to save us down the road, and it's going to help the citizens of Fluvanna, which is the main thing. But again, we're talking money tonight. But I'm not asking for anything else, even with all that sob story I just gave you. I'm asking for $290 more because and we can move money around and make it work. Obviously, we did last year, but when we had that late cut last year, we took some money out of lines, and our dues and I think it's line 47, maybe. I'm not sure exactly which one, but we were $290 bucks short of that one. And again, we moved it from somewhere else, but those lines are pretty tight, and I can't always know where we're going to steal it from to get it in there. So we know we came up that much short, and that's the bar cost of being a lawyer, your bar license. That's the association we're in. So those are known costs. So if we can just make that line whole, that's all we're asking for. Thankfully, I don't have new people or new things to ask for. It's good for you all, and it keeps me sane, because I love the folks that I got, but getting new people in the office, I'm not used to being the oldest person in the office. I've got 330-somethings in the office, and I feel like I've got my kids at home all the time. They don't understand. They don't know what gun smoke is. They don't understand my TV references. I just feel like an old man in the office.
Jed Clampett references.
That's right, man.
When
you got grandchildren walking in, the people that you don't.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, sit on boards with your former students.
May I add one quick thing? Because it really is a compliment y'all need to hear, and you may not remember it, but I think it's safe to say that every one of your offices has such good people, because this board and some of your predecessors have helped us pay them more than the comp board allows. And the fact that y'all have us as county employees, and we get the raises as all the rest of our county employees do, it's a blessing. There are still some counties out there that try to survive on just comp board funding. And we couldn't do it and keep good people. We could keep people, but they wouldn't have any experience, and they wouldn't be very good. And we have really good people because y'all help us pay them a pretty fair wage.
I was just going to add one thing. I'm just glad that the commission could stay at the bargain hotels while the clerk of the court is upgrading on her hotels. Your housing rate went up $1,000.
Oh.
No. Hey. I'm sorry. That's so bad. I should have waited until we got out of
time. But to piggyback briefly off what Mel said, and I think in doing what you do to keep us able to hire good folks, it's really impressive that a county the size of Fluvanna, and with, you know, since the 20 plus years I've been here, I mean, God bless her, Brenda Browning walked around with a checkbook. That was the finance department.
Yep.
things have grown because they've had to, but to have the programs that these offices are putting in place, from drug court to the sheriff's, what the sheriff's doing and what Mel's doing and Trissy, and I mean, this, we are, for, you know, high-tech rednecks, if you want to use the term. But, I mean, we really, for a small county, yeah, we are doing things on the high end. It really is. I mean,
yeah, we are.
We do everything.
I attended a meeting on Monday, and I was amazed.
Do you think our citizens really know the things we
know? No, because when we do the leadership program, they're blown away. They just say, we can't believe you all are doing all that.
I mean, how do you get that?
There's only 57 citizens that really care most of the time, and I don't mean that in a bad way. People are just busy, have complicated lives, and you have the same 50 or 60 in our county that are involved
in
stuff.
But it's so
easy
to
get in. Middle class, and you get a few more, but it's really hard to communicate to everybody the quality that goes on.
I laugh when y'all talk about the technology. Our high school is such state-of-the-art technology. Mr. Hazel and I were not in high school that long. 35 years is a long time, but okay? We didn't even have a computer in the building.
Amen. Didn't either.
We didn't have a computer in the building.
We didn't have an electric typewriter.
You got there, Miss Treadway. You got your name right.
When I was in nuclear medicine school, every nuclear calculation we did, every calculation we did, every math thing we did was on slide rule.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I remember sitting at the desk and had all the formulas written on the desk. Man, you were high cognitive. You got one of those desks.
Sold my first computer in 1974. It's as big as this table.
Okay.
When you went to Richmond.
I mean, he mentioned the 5,000, but I just
All right. Thank y'all so much. We do appreciate. There were three of y'all that talked longer than somebody at that table.
Y'all were about to win that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right.
Can I say one thing? When all this technology, you get to my budget. That.
Exactly right.
I'm going to tell you, without Andy and Tim, I mean, they have helped us so much with their collection process, and Tim is going to come back and help us with some other stuff once he gets the phone. But I'm telling you, these guys, they're
the
great.
I don't think there's ever been a better group working together. Mm-hmm. Really,
they must have cloned each other, because I feel guilty when I have to call them, but they always answer and they always remote in and fix it immediately. I mean, they are it, how they handle problems better than
I think this might be helpful to the board members, because you may be asked by people in your neighbor, you know, citizens. The Board of Equalization has kicked off, and they had their first meeting today. So if you have somebody that's, you know, still concerned, frustrated, whatever, about their assessment, please just call Kelly down the hill. I have Kelly in my office. I joke, I caught Kelly up the hill, Kelly down the hill. But we'll be happy to have them referred to the Board of Equalization. They met today. And met, I think, 8 or 9 citizens. They do a good job, and I won't even mention who was their first customer.
Where's their schedule of when they're there or what?
They published it in the paper just frequently.
I was just looking at the website. I'll get it on the
website. I'll tell you, I don't want you to have to try to remember it, but 591-1903. You know, 1903 is the recorded line that's listened to daily. Call the citizen back, get them an appointment. But I'm just mentioning that to you so you get some information to give them. Hey, if you don't like it, it's too high, it's too low, whatever, please go see the Board of Equalization. They will meet until December the 31st.
but we'd like them to try to get it all in before, you know, the first bills are done.
Do they meet every day?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. They meet as necessary.
Okay.
If there aren't any appointments.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. They will. They will call the citizen back. They're faithful to do that. Mm-hmm. Set up an appointment, and they just come in and meet. And they meet in the Weaver Building. So happy. But just so y'all know, you can help get the word out when you get asked. You know, if it's on the citizen, if they're mad about mm-hmm. something and they haven't taken the time to call and meet with the Board of Equalization. You know, I can't help
Mr.
that.
Chair, I would like to add the speaker's time to his previous
I got ready to say Bill trying to play catch up now.
He's trying to help y'all out. Okay.
He felt bad. He wasn't, you know.
Just trying to help y'all.
When Trissy outran him, he felt bad, so he had to make sure he got past Trissy.
He's losing his reputation.
So, you know that money he was going to hear for that dinner, you don't get it now.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. So, Board of Equalization, they're now meeting, and we can let people know when they ask.
Yep. Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
And they will ask.
Mm. Yeah,
they will.
So, you can talk about anything budget now, and we can go through any questions you have. What I'd like to do is, if any of you have any questions about what you've seen in your budget book so far, let us know, because we can find the answers for next week's session. You have a regular meeting next week at a 4 o'clock work session with the schools, and because they're adopting their budget tonight, 4 o'clock work session with the schools, or not. I don't know if they're going to adopt or not, but they come next week,
no,
and then at 7 o'clock, you'll have your regular board meeting. So next week, 4 o'clock work session, 7 o'clock regular meeting, and if you've got some questions out, we can answer them. The second thing is that we've talked a little bit about Jaunt and some of the funding things that I gave you, that the charts and stuff before. Ms. Karen Davis is here tonight from Jaunt. In case you had any questions, I don't want to put her on the spot, but she's here to answer questions in case you had it. We will be putting together some meetings with board members and community members with Jaunt to find out how we can morph and look and see what's best for the community. Mm-hmm. We haven't gotten that yet, but she's here in case you have questions about Jaunt as well.
Yeah, I was concerned about that.
Yeah, and Mr. Sheffield and I have been talking back and forth, and Ms. Davis put this information together for us mm-hmm. so that we could show you, but also use it as a starting point for discussions with John and with our community.
Mm-hmm. Well, buses were at the mm-hmm. Carrie's Road.
So what do we think? I mean, what is the explanation then?
Ms. Davis, do you have an explanation?
She came all the way out here, so.
I came all the way out here. I think it was a good exercise to do this in terms of funding and ridership. As you can see, costs for transportation have gone up. Ridership goes down because we keep trimming the services we're providing for Fluviana to stay within the budget that we're given by Fluviana. I will say this. I know transportation appears to be expensive. It is. For every dollar that you give us, $2 plus dollars are drawn down from state and federal to match to provide the service. And we're at a point, and I know that Brad has said this to Stephen, we really want to partner with you to reimagine what the transportation services are here in Fluviana. We have a great team in place, really for the first time, that can really come and meet with community members and take a look at where the ridership needs are, whether it's with our senior citizens or people with disabilities or commuters coming into Charlottesville. That's where, you know, we would love to really make sure that what we're doing for you makes sense for your community, and I think this is the moment to do it. I know you don't know this, but we are one of the best transportation companies in Virginia, if not the nation, and we have worked really hard over the last few years to get more and more efficient. We're actually doing more with less, and so I think this is a really great time for us to work together to really do what you need for your community. I think transportation makes a difference. You were talking about returning citizens, people getting out of programs. They need transportation. Senior citizens who are aging in place, they need transportation. Kids need transportation. So commuters to Charlottesville need transportation. So we have a lot of different models and balls in the air that we've been talking with other communities about too, and would love to leverage that to you. And then one of the things and it's hard to understand, but we also do agency service, which is also nonprofits, and it's also Medicaid services. When we do that in a community, it stretches your public dollars more. And so recently your agency ridership has gone down, but it ebbs and flows. And now our, and I mentioned this last time, our director of operations is moving, who has been with us for over 40 years, and we're only 43, 44 years old. So she remembers when we were in the basement of a church in Charlottesville, and we're not that anymore. But she is going to be focusing 50% of her time on agency services, and growing agency services in Louisiana is one of our priorities.
Great.
And a lot of times it's just getting the word out, having meetings, partnering. And so that helps you. And so I guess my message to you is we're willing to do anything to make your transportation services in Louisiana efficient and streamlined and cost effective.
That's good, because from a staff point of view, we've not done well, near well enough in talking up jaunt to the community and marketing it, and we need to figure out ways to do that too, because it is a great service. It's reasonably cost effective, had been in past years, but we'll be setting up some meetings with you to do some community dialogue with citizens, board members, and agencies involved, so that we can kind of start that dialogue and start making lists and find a way to move ahead in a better way.
If my office and whoever else in the drug court leadership would like to be involved, we'd love to be a part of those conversations, because the folks that are going to be in drug court have, by rule, lost their license for at least 6 months. So they're going to need rides to Palmyra, rides to wherever else to court. So I don't expect you all to be the Uber for the drug court, but if we could at least coordinate and talk about who needs a ride where as part of setting up times for our program. We can work our program around your bus.
I mentioned Uber, actually, because the other part of John is we are one of the leaders in technology and transportation, and all models are on the table right now. And no, we're not taking over Uber, but we are borrowing from that model, and that, I believe, will increase our efficiency in rural areas a lot. So all of this is on the table, yes, we're doing a pilot program with autonomous vehicles, but that's not coming to Louisiana anytime soon. But we are that much on the cutting edge.
When I read your rationale, the budget, and so forth, and when you talked about the people who are being affected by this, I wanted to see the stories. I mean, I want to know how many. I mean, you can say people can get to the jobs and medicine. How many people are we talking about to have? You know, I wanted to know a little bit with
more
some
of the
numbers. So that I could, you know, judge it a little bit different to see what happened to drop is.
And y'all put that really one, and that really is very good explaining. But if we could see that for the surrounding counties as well.
Well, and I think
a contrast to compare.
Yeah, that would be really helpful too. But I think also, you know, for example, what's the impact of the price of gas on ridership? I mean, is there any correlation there? I don't know. I mean, I simply don't know the answer to that. Has Uber and Lyft and so on, carved away a portion of the business just because of the fact that it's more convenient, so the premium dollar that's paid for that competes against you, you know? So those are the kinds of things.
Yeah.
And because you look at a chart like this, and obviously you think you're getting less bang for your buck,
right.
But that's just one chart, and it doesn't really explain
that.
That's the whole story.
That's one of the things. We had a comparison with everything. If everybody's the same way, all right. Thank you so very much for coming out tonight. We do appreciate
you're
it.
You're welcome. We'll
be in touch, Karen. Have you guys worked on any smaller vehicle models? Because your 15 or 20 passenger bus or whatever they are pretty big, wide things, and some of them have to be for handicap ridership. But it seems like that's a pretty big thing on a small country road.
Yeah. We can get into that discussion, but so the larger vehicles, the gas per mile, miles per gallon, all of that is very
miles.
Similar. And then also, if you have a driver, and that some of your costs are pretty much stagnant. But we are looking at smaller vehicles because we are looking at models like demand response, more mobility on demand, which is more Uber-ish. But we would have smaller vehicles. All of our vehicles will always be wheelchair accessible because we do want to make sure that service is available to all citizens in any county. One last thought I'll leave you with, and perhaps Brad will be mad at me for this, but other communities have looked at uniquely branding their transportation service, and that is something we could talk about if we reimagined what you're doing and then kind of relaunched it with a new look. I think that could be really exciting.
Are you affiliated at all in any way with the Green County Transportation now, or are they completely separate?
Green is it's a completely separate company.
Could that be one of the things you're talking about? Because I've seen some of the buses in Louisa when I've been driving in the car that are painted the lines with the lion stink.
The lion has been very popular, and that was one of the things they did to draw attention to the fact, especially that they had added Mondays back, so they had Monday through Friday transportation within the county.
We can hang tennis shoes off the mirrors.
If we do that, let's not call it Flavanna Area Regional Transportation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that big
right
there, baby.
There's a lot of models.
Yeah,
that
animal rescue team.
That was Wayne's thing. Like, 7 years ago, he came up with Savannah Area Regional Transit.
And Cunningham.
Funny
they
mention
want
that.
To put that.
Oh, hey.
Orange is called.
Okay, so do you want to look at any budget stuff?
Oh, Lord.
Two
Orange. And I went to college.
Town of Orange Transportation.
And then you
can have ours.
What? What you said?
That's cute.
That is. That's what it is.
I'm not sure that area regional trends would be cute, but
no, not at all.
People would smile and laugh.
Get some ice cream boys. Paint some cows on the side.
We should name ours Foot, because it'd be like the flying foot dogs. Okay, so what does that everybody want
to
look at?
I'd like to know, do you have a total of what we pay county attorney? This budget's down by $40,000, but you said you're allocating that to the projects that he was addressing.
Yeah. Oh, I've got it. Who's logged on?
No, it's the network.
Andy's the network down?
I'm going to IT people. No. Never get it done.
This county is so bad.
There goes your bonus, Andy.
Security, Andy, telling.
You're logged in. So
that's high technology security.
So if anybody would like to take a restroom break.
Oh,
it just deleted
the calendar.
How much we're paying?
What
are their cards? We haven't had a drug court.
We're doing something nearby.
No, we're going to come around.
So, Andy, we need to recover something from the tapes because it just disappeared. Okay, I can't pull it right now, but I can help for next week. For the last 10 or 15 years, we have the total cost. And then for the last couple of years, we have broken out by all different kinds of where the costs go. The stuff that stays with county attorney, and the stuff that goes to a specific budget line, but then the total cost is there. So we have that. It's just in a directory that most people can't get to. I think it got deleted.
It's way too late.
When I was moving stuff, so I have to recover it off the table.
All right. Does anyone else have a question about the budget?
Cards in there. Anything else?
Folks, they got to record this.
Anything we can research for next week for you?
Okay. Hearing no questions.
Man, let's go home. Let's go.
Do we have a motion to wait? Mr. Weaver's got something.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Do you want to mention anything about the towers?
I actually don't.
Okay.
Because I just got that from this afternoon. So we really need to pull some stuff. But the basic story on towers, the new towers, is there is no new story. There is no new antennas that have gone on, no new rentals or things. We've renegotiated the antennas on existing towers. Like AT&T and the people on the Bremo
water tower.
But there are no new ones like on the Cunningham, at the VFW tower in Cunningham District.
Right.
There's no new commercial providers on there.
That's ours. Private anyway, too.
Yes, but remember, it's private, but every time a new commercial one goes on there, the first time two commercial providers go on there, our rent goes down.
Right.
Okay. And so we have not gotten, they're not had any bites on that one yet. So we're continuing to market ours.
Isn't that one fairly close to that one on Route 6 that I told you about?
The next bit, is there another one on Route 6?
No, they're going to have the balloons up in about a week or two.
Yeah. Oh, right there across from Fluvanna Baptist Church.
Oh, right.
On the Butler.
Where the white church?
Yes.
Okay, I haven't even heard of that one yet, so.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah, I mentioned it in the text, I think.
Yeah, an email, but I thought you were talking about the VFW one. Mm-hmm. I didn't know there was another new one, so.
Right.
That doesn't bubble to me until
no,
we get
to
the final.
Same company. Okay. Same company as the VFW. Okay.
I wonder how tall that one is.
What road is it on?
Route 6.
Do I have any other questions from the board? If not, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So made.
Second.
Motion's been made to adjourn by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. We are done.